Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's March 25th, 2025, and that means there's 9 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to take a look back at Christmas during the Great Depression to see how people found Christmas cheer in a fairly joyless time. We'll also learn how to make an especially festive candle to keep things merry and alight. We'll also count down my top five favorite non-Christmas songs from artists famous for Christmas music. Okay, let's start the show! Greetings, Yule Believers, and welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and future YouTube star, Tim Babb. Yes, apparently more and more people are listening to podcasts on YouTube. So, to get with the times, i.e. at least 9 months ago, Can't Wait for Christmas is now available on YouTube. This will be the first episode to go on YouTube, and our entire back catalog will be up there too. Plus, we'll be posting extra video content there every now and again. So to find us, just search for @CantWaitForChristmas, all one word, on YouTube. Or if you go to our website, CantWaitForChristmasPod.com, we've added little icons for all our social media on the right-hand side of the site under the RSS feed. You do have to view the site in desktop mode to see it, though. But you can still do it on your mobile device. You just gotta scroll to the bottom and click desktop mode. And if, once you're done subscribing to all our social medias, you can flick it right back to mobile mode. I know, for a guy who lives in Silicon Valley, my website game is pretty weak. But my love for Christmas is pretty strong. So much so that you might say, I can't wait for it. To that end, let's move to our first segment. We need a little Christmas, now!
We need a little Christmas now!
I'm taking today's Need a Little Christmas Now tip from a video I saw on TikTok, because it may be banned here in America in like a couple weeks as of this recording, so I wanted to share this while I still can. It's a cool idea for making a candle into something more festive. The downside is that the video doesn't actually have any dialogue and nothing's even written in the description. It's all just a visual thing with music over the top of it, so I'll do my best to describe it here for you. You start off with a clear vase, but not a curved vase like you sometimes see. It's just a straight cylinder. You fill the bottom with clear water beads, then you put some red and green Christmas ornaments on top. Then you add another layer of water beads, then another layer of ornaments, and you keep doing that until you almost get to the top. Then you pour some water in, and in the video, it looks like the water beads disappear, and the ornaments are just floating in multiple layers in the middle of the water. Then, to top it off, you put a short, squat candle on the top, and voila! You've got a cool-looking Christmas candle! In case my description didn't quite do it for you, I'll have a link to the TikTok video in the show notes. And if TikTok gets banned, I'll upload a version on our YouTube page where I'm doing that annoying thing people do where they repost a video but with themselves in front of it, like green skin in front of it, just sort of pointing to the video as if that's adding some sort of valuable commentary. Yeah, it's annoying, but at least it's a way for you to see this if TikTok goes dark in the next couple weeks. But no matter what link ends up there, you can find it in the show notes at CantWaitForChristmasPod.com. And now, let's move on to our countdown feature, Five Golden Things.
Five Golden Things.
So being that spring is here, it's hard to deny that it's not Christmas season at the moment. But I still love to hear my favorite Christmas singers. And not everyone is okay with you cranking Christmas carols once daylight savings time starts. So, I came up with a sneaky workaround. I've compiled a bunch of non-Christmas songs from famous Christmas artists. So you can put these all on a playlist and no one will be any the wiser. So, let's give these a listen, starting with...
Number 5!
Music to Watch Girls by, Andy Williams.
It's keeping track of the pack, watching them, watching back, that makes the world go round. What's that sound? Each time you hear a loud collective sigh, they're making music to watch girls by.
We all know Andy Williams' nickname was Mr. Christmas. With Christmas staples like The Most Wonderful Time of the Year and Happy Holidays / Holiday Season, you'll hear plenty of Andy during Christmas. But in the off-season, I like to crank a little music to watch girls by. Now, was Moon River a more obvious choice? Yes. Does this song have a distinct whiff of misogyny? For sure. Am I able to ignore all that and just enjoy this groovy 60s sound that is itself a cover of a song that was used in a Diet Pepsi commercial? Clearly, because I put it at number 5 on my list.
Number 4.
That's Amore, Dean Martin.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
This is a much more obvious choice, right? When it's not the season to play Let It Snow, Baby It's Cold Outside, or Marshmallow World, you can always enjoy this song that reminds you of any movie or TV show set in an Italian restaurant. Though I will never understand his first line. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore?
What's the problem with that?
Are you kidding, imaginary listeners? Sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog.
It's Carl.
There is so much to unpack in those 13 words. First of all, who has ever been hit in the eye with the moon? I'll stop you before you answer, because we all know the answer is no one. The moon is gigantic. If it hit you, your eye would be the least of your problems.
He clearly means moonlight. The light from the moon is shining on their eye.
Okay, let's say that's true, even though I've never heard it phrased that way in any other context. The next 5 words are, like a big pizza pie. How is moonlight hitting your eyes remotely like a pizza, big or little?
Maybe he's saying the person is so attractive that they look delicious, like a pizza.
So when the moon hits your eyes, you make me hungry, so I love you?
I thought you just said you liked this song.
I do. It doesn't have to make sense for me to like it. Someday I'll do a top 5 list of Christmas songs I like, but make no sense. But for now, let's continue with this list as we go to...
Number 3.
Save the Last Dance, Michael Bublé.
So don't forget who's taking you home, or in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
This was another one where I could have gone another way. I was flipping between this and Feeling Good. That one has more of a big band sound that you hear with a lot of Bublé's Christmas music, like Frosty the Snowman or White Christmas or even Jingle Bells. But something about the slightly Latin rhythm in Save the Last Dance puts it over the edge for me. Plus, it's a bit easier to sing along to, in my opinion. You gotta have all kinds of crazy range and timing to keep up with Feeling Good. So I'm feeling good about my choice of Save the Last Dance.
Number 2.
Unforgettable, Nat King Cole.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far.
I don't know if this is just me or if this is a thing with other Gen Xers, but this song really got on my radar when Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie Cole, recorded a version of it. That's where she intercut her parts with her dad singing it, so it was like they were singing a duet, even though he had passed away when she was 15, and she recorded the song almost 30 years later. But I chose this song because, unlike the Bublé song we just heard, Unforgettable has the exact vibe of Nat's other Christmas songs, like Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
That's not what the song is called.
I know, but it sounds ridiculous to say Unforgettable has the exact vibe of Nat's other Christmas songs, like A Christmas Song.
You could rewrite the whole sentence.
No time. Gotta move on to...
Honorable Mentions!
Swingin' on a Star, Bing Crosby.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a mule?
I have to admit, outside of Christmas, I don't really listen to a lot of Bing Crosby.
How dare you?
Oh, come on, alleged ghost of Bing Crosby. We covered this when I did an episode on you. I mean him.
I had tons of hits, baby.
Yeah, I know you did, but unlike, like, Sinatra or Nat King Cole or Dean Martin, like, your songs don't really play much anymore. Like, nobody's cranking the off-season Bing Crosby hits. But I do have a special place in my heart for the song Swingin' on a Star, and Bing does an amazing cover on it, so that's how it made the honorable mentions.
Well, I never...
Next up, there's Toto by Straight No Chaser.
Gonna take some time to do the things we never had.
After I had Jasper Smith from Straight No Chaser on the show a while back, I became obsessed with their album Yacht on the Rocks. It's full of amazing covers of classic yacht rock hits, but the one I glommed onto the most was the mega mashup of songs by Toto, including Rosanna, Hold the Line, and of course, Africa. And it even feels a little bit like cheating, because technically, Africa is part of their mega Christmas hit, 12 Days of Christmas. Now, before we leave Honorable Mentions, I have to tip my cap to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham.
Wake me up before you go-go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go-go. I don't want to miss it when you hit that high.
Although Wham only had the one Christmas song, it's a big one that you hear almost every year. And while Careless Whisper has a closer sound to Last Christmas, I just love the vibes of Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. It's so upbeat and fun, it just makes you want to dance. And speaking of songs that make you want to dance...
Number one!
Fantasy, Mariah Carey. For Christmas Is You remains a juggernaut in the Christmas song world, but I was so happy when the movie Free Guy came out a few years back and this song was featured prominently in the movie and in the marketing. This song is a certified bop. It honestly doesn't feel like a 90s song, even though it definitely is. It just feels like a good song to make you smile and get you dancing. And that's my list. Now, I know there are lots more non-Christmas songs by Christmas artists out there, and so that is your homework. Tell me what non-Christmas songs by artists famous for Christmas music you have on your playlist. You can leave a comment at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com or shoot it over to our new email, can'twaitforchristmaspod@gmail.com. And while you're working on that list, here's a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hello, Christmas lovers and enthusiasts. If you're like me and you're always counting down the days until Christmas, I invite you to listen to Closer to Christmas. Think of the podcast as like a Christmas advent calendar. Each episode that comes out, we get a little bit closer to Christmas, and it's always a surprise as to what the Christmas-related topic will be for that episode. So search for Closer to Christmas on your favorite podcast platform of choice, or head over to anchor.fm/closertochristmas. Thanks, and I hope to see you there soon.
Welcome back. The other day I was watching an old Mickey Mouse cartoon from the 1930s called Mickey's Good Deed. In it, Mickey and his dog Pluto are living on the street and playing music, just trying to convince people to throw a few coins in their cup so they have some money to buy food before Christmas. Even though people were throwing things in the cup, it turns out they weren't throwing money in there, just rocks and nuts and bolts and screws, so they don't have any money for food. They try playing outside a rich guy's house, but his spoiled kid is inside, wrecking all the nice toys he's gotten for Christmas. The kid sees Pluto and demands his dad buy him the doggy. So instead of paying Mickey for his music, the rich guy sends his butler to buy Pluto. But even though he desperately needs the money, Mickey won't sell Pluto, because Pluto is his pal. So they walk off into the cold, snowy winter night. I've seen this cartoon many times, but as the kids say, it just hits different right now. Probably because I've been doing much more doom-scrolling than usual lately, and I can't escape the news cycle about concerns about the economy, inflation, gas prices, grocery prices, tariffs. It's all a little much. And this has never really been a political podcast, and I don't intend to make it one now, but as we face the possibility of difficult Christmases in the future, I thought it might be beneficial to look back on difficult Christmases from the past to see if there's any wisdom, warning, or perspective to be gained from the journey. Specifically, we're going to be talking about Christmas during that exact time that Mickey and Pluto were out on the street, a global era of hardship called the Great Depression.
That sounds like a hilarious idea for a comedy podcast.
Don't worry, I brought along a whoopee cushion in case things get too serious.
You've gotta be kidding me. How on earth is that relevant to this?
Glad you asked.
It was really more rhetorical than...
The modern rubber whoopee cushion was invented in the 1930s, and that's the very decade we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, old Fanny, I live in a shanty that's just outside of the town. Tell him when he comes if he should be in doubt. It's a little house with all the windows out.
Just to level set, as they say, the Great Depression was a global economic disaster that lasted from 1929 to 1939. Most point to the stock market crash of 29 as the beginning of the Great Depression. What followed were bank failures, sharp reductions in manufacturing, businesses closing, steep unemployment rates, housing foreclosures, farm foreclosures. At its peak, unemployment rose to nearly 25% in the U.S. and as high as 33% in other countries. I saw one study that said at one point, 78% of Americans were living at or below the poverty line. So, given all of this, how do you celebrate Christmas in these circumstances? One of the most obvious differences is gift giving. Most people didn't have the money for big, expensive gifts. Instead of toys, children would get some nuts, maybe socks or a scarf, and in their stocking, the big ticket item, an orange.
An orange?
Yeah, as in, orange you glad the stocking isn't empty?
The only way that joke could be worse is... And there it is.
Actually, oranges were a real treat back then because they were really expensive at the time. And fruit in general was much harder to come by during the Great Depression. Other presents were homemade and or necessities, like the socks I mentioned earlier, or some kids would get a dress made from a flour sack. And typically it was only the children who got presents. There wasn't enough money to go around for the parents. As for decorations, unless you lived near a wooded area and you could chop one down yourself, most homes had to go without a Christmas tree. Or they would wait until Christmas Eve when the trees would be dramatically reduced in price. For ornaments that they would either hang on the tree or if no tree, just hang around the house, they would actually have to cut them out of paper. If they had construction paper, they would use that, but more often than not, they'd use old magazines or newspapers. Strings of popcorn and cranberries would be used to decorate the tree, again, or house. Not store-bought, the family would pop the popcorn and put them on the string one kernel at a time. The 30s was also when tinsel icicles were invented. Basically, the idea was to use scraps of foil from wrappers and other items to make the decoration. It was sort of a way to not let things go to waste and still get some Christmas cheer out of it. It was something that was born out of necessity of the time, but continued to be a decorating tradition even after the Great Depression was over. Some of the entertainment of the era certainly reflected the mood of the time. There was that Mickey Mouse cartoon I mentioned earlier, where Mickey is down on his luck at Christmas. In 1936, there was an animated short starring the Betty Boop character Professor Grampy, who comes across an orphanage full of kids who are all sad because the Christmas presents are all broken hand-me-downs. But Grampy does his best Santa Claus impression and uses some ingenuity to make things merry using regular household items, including making a toy train out of a coffee maker and a Christmas tree out of a stack of umbrellas. The short also does a great job of getting the title song stuck in your head. Yeah, sorry about that. That's going to be in there for a while. But as money was tight, often public concerts and caroling was the preferred entertainment. Folks would dress up as best they could and go to the local church, school, or community center to enjoy some holiday music. Christmas dinner was a much more modest affair. Turkey and ham were hard to come by, so chicken was often the main course. For dessert, they had to get wacky.
Oh no, you're not going to play the whoopee cushion sound again, are you?
I wasn't, but now that you mentioned it...
Wait, no, I... Okay, if that's not why things are getting wacky, what is?
Something called wacky cake. You see, eggs and dairy were hard to come by during this time, so the challenge was to make a cake without them. And that's where wacky cake comes in. The cake contains no milk, no butter, and no eggs, but it does have both vinegar and baking soda, which, if you've ever made a volcano for a science project, you'll know created a very bubbly reaction. This translated into a moist cake that rose without the need for dairy or eggs.
Well, they really knew how to take lemons and make lemonade back then.
Actually, they took lemons and made apple pie.
They did what now?
Although mock apple pie is a recipe that's been around since the 1800s, when Ritz crackers hit the scene in the early 1930s, people discovered that that buttery snack was particularly perfect for creating a mock apple pie. Fill a pie crust with Ritz crackers, cream of tartar, some water, some lemon juice, some spices, and apparently, that's enough to fool most people into believing they're eating an actual apple pie. It was popular enough that Ritz put the recipe on the side of their boxes, and they had it there for decades. I actually went to see if it was on the box of Ritz we currently have in the kitchen, and I was disappointed twice. The recipe was not currently on the box, and it turns out my sons had finished eating all the Ritz crackers and put the empty box back in the cupboard.
Sorry!
But I did find out they still have the recipe on the Nabisco website, and I'll throw a link to that in the show notes. And speaking of Depression-era things that remain to this day, there's a myth we've debunked on the show before that Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus's look. First of all, you can't invent a look that someone is wearing already. Santa was wearing it. They just drew a picture of it. Second of all, Coca-Cola wasn't the first to depict Santa as a jolly old man in a red suit. What Coca-Cola did do was popularize that look, though. Before Coca-Cola's ad campaign, people used to depict Santa wearing green, black, plaid, you name it. But once Coke did their campaign with Santa in his work uniform, that's pretty much all you ever see him in from then on. Now, you may be wondering why I'm going on and on about this ad campaign.
Is it because you gave up drinking Coke for Lent and now your high fructose starved brain is going through withdrawals?
Possibly. But more than that, the campaign that people mistakenly say invented Santa Claus's look happened in 1931, and those images are still iconic to this day. And that's not all. The Christmas Spectacular, starring the Radio City Rockettes, premiered in 1933 and has been a yearly New York tradition ever since. In 1935, a new board game was released by Parker Brothers that became a big hit at Christmas, Monopoly. Actually, Monopoly is a whole other story unto itself that I'll have to devote a future episode to. But perhaps the biggest Christmas holdover from the Depression era is a song written by composer Felix Bernard and lyricist Richard Smith.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
So I guess my point, if I even have one, is that while dark times are obviously difficult, they often bring out the goodness in people, especially at Christmas. When you strip away the presents and the food and the decorations, the essence of the Christmas season is hope. Long before Luke Skywalker got a visit from his dad's old robots, that baby in Bethlehem was a new hope. And a recurring theme during the Great Depression at Christmas was hope. Hope and help. People got together to help one another. Parents went without so their kids could have something. Communities came together to help each other. Goodwill towards men is important every Christmas, but especially Christmases when times are tough. Which brings me back around to the Mickey Mouse short, Mickey's Good Deed, I was talking about earlier. If you've seen it, you're probably pretty confused as to why I stopped my synopsis less than halfway through. If you haven't seen it, let me fill you in on the rest of the story. Mickey comes upon a second house, not a rich house this time. No, this house has one poor mother whose husband is in jail, and she has about a dozen kids. The house is bare and disheveled looking as the exhausted mother sleeps, not even in a bed, slumped over in a seat at a tiny table. Mickey then has an idea. He sells Pluto to the rich man so that Pluto can have a nice warm home for Christmas. And he can use that money to help this mother and her kids, and that's exactly what he does. See, if the mascot for a soulless corporation that I am forever bound to because they own all the intellectual property that I love can learn the true meaning of Christmas, surely all of us can.
Wait, so he just sells Pluto and that's it? No more Pluto?
Oh, the bratty kid keeps abusing Pluto and chasing him all over the house and it makes a huge mess, so the dad throws Pluto out and spanks the kid.
But what about Mickey?
Oh, Pluto tracks Mickey down by scent because he's apparently part bloodhound.
But they still don't have any food!
Oh, there was a whole turkey that somehow got caught on Pluto's tail as the rich guy was throwing him out.
The turkey got caught on his tail?
Look, these plot details are really undercut my point about the hoping and helping that should be our takeaway from Christmas during the Great Depression. Christmas isn't about presents or lights or food. It's about being with the ones we love and reaching out to help those in need. If we remember that, Christmas can shine its light through any dark times.
Speaking of undercutting your point.
And that's our show. Thank you for listening. But if you're still wanting some more Christmas time with your boy Tim, you're in luck. Back in December, I told you how I recorded an episode with Kevin over at Tis the Soundtrack. Well, that episode is available now. And when you listen, be sure and send Kevin some Icy Hot for his back because he is carrying my dead weight throughout the show. I was coming down with a cold or flu or something, and I was not at all at the top of my game. But Kevin made it a great episode where we talk about Christmas music at Disneyland. Also, special shout out to Kevin's daughter, Eden, who elevated the episode with her contributions as well. There's also a video-enhanced version of the episode on YouTube, and I highly recommend watching that. I'll put links to the audio and video versions of the show in the show notes. And while you're on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to us at Can't Wait for Christmas. You can find the link to our YouTube page in the show notes, along with the link to our Blue Sky page, Christmas Pod. Yes, I am messed up and I do not have consistent branding across the social medias, but you can find all our social medias on the website when you look at our show notes at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. And speaking of our show notes, that's where you'll find the link to that water bead candle thing I was talking about during Need a Little Christmas Now, as well as the recipe for the Ritz Cracker Mock Apple Pie. Okay! That's all in my podcast sack of Christmas toys today, but I'll be back next month with more holiday cheer. So, until next time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2025.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, cantwaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are @ChristmasPod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
Check, check, 1, 2, what is this?
Mic check.
Why is that so exciting?
It was James.
What?
It was James.
James who did what?
Ate the crackers.
How do you know?
Because I don't eat Ritz crackers, I eat
Sorry.
Saltines.
About Michael, since he was the one who ate it all.
I don't even eat Ritz crackers. This is a lie.
All right. Well, that'll work. Thanks, guys. I don't know if this is just me or if this is a thing with Gen Xers, but this song really got on my radar when Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie Cole, recorded a version of it where she... Sorry. Beef and Broccoli's trying to make a comeback during this recording. No. No. You are not the star of the show. I have to admit, outside of Christmas, I don't really listen to a lot of Bing Crosby. Here's how I actually wrote that sentence. I have to admit, outside of Christmas, I don't really listen to a lot of Bing Crosby outside of Christmas. It's always good to open and close your sentence with outside of Christmas. All I Want for Christmas, You. All I Want for Christmas, You. I don't think the song would have been a big hit. All I Want for Christmas, You. And that's my list. But I know there's lots more songs. Nope. I mean, there are lots more songs. That's true. There's lots more songs. Credits. In it, Mickey and his dog Pluto are living on the street and playing music, just trying to convince people to throw some... Throw? In 1936, there was an animated short starring the Betty Boop character of Professor Grampy, who comes across an orphanage full of kids who are all sad because their Christmas presents are all broken hand-me-downs. That is a long sentence. A long, long sentence there. I could barely finish it. I need to stop and take a breath. You fill a pie crust with Ritz crackers, cream of tartar. Cream of tartar? Is it tartar or tartar? I feel like I've come across this exact pronunciation problem on this show before, and I didn't bother to learn my lesson. That's Tim Babb in a nutshell. Long before Luke Skywalker got a visit from his dad's old robots, that baby in Bethlehem was a new hope. I've never sounded more like a youth pastor trying to sound hip than with that sentence, but I stand by it. Christmas isn't about presents or lights or food. It's about being with the... Sorry, I'm not laughing at that sentence. It's the next word. I apparently, spell check must have gotten me while I wasn't paying attention. Christmas isn't about presents or lights or food. It's about being with the obese we live. I'm reasonably sure the ones we love was what I meant to type. How often am I typing obese that my phone thinks that's what I meant? You can find the link You can find the link to our YouTube. You can find the link to our YouTube page. You can find the. Come on, man! It's the last paragraph. Get it together. You can find the link to our YouTube page in the show notes, along with the link. Don't lick. Just link.